Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to the Upshift Podcast. Me and Brian have a good one on this one, like we always do. I say that every time, but hey, it's a podcast about motorcycles, and that's what we're doing here. Thank you guys for interacting with us on Instagram. We just have a good time. In this episode, we talk about gremlin bells, motorcycle superstitions. Do loud pipes save lives? We don't know, but we're going to talk about it in this episode. Tune in and find out what we really think. Hey, and we're coming up on Daytona. You know, Daytona is the kickoff for the Upshift Podcast, and we start traveling and seeing all you guys out there. But we will be in Daytona. We're going to have a ride that's coming up. We'll post that on our social medias. So give us a like, share, and follow there on Instagram and Facebook. We still got the old Facebook. But the Upshift guys are proudly partnered with IndyRidgeBootsUSA.com. For all your boots and motorcycle glove needs, you go to IndyRidgeUSA.com. That's the boots we wear and the gloves. And here in the upstate of South Carolina where I'm at, I'm partnered with CNC Thunder Custom Motorcycles. For all your V-twin needs, go see CNC. Check them out on Facebook and Instagram. CNC Custom Thunder Motorcycles. And welcome in to the Upshift Podcast with my co-host in the frozen northeast of New Hampshire riding snowmobiles.
Yeah, that's me.
How was that for an introduction?
How you doing? How you doing, Brian? How you doing down there in the warm world? Could be a thunderstorm, South Carolina.
Yeah, definitely. In the mid-60s today, but guess what? Today was Monday as we're recording. It is gorgeous and sunny outside, again, mid-60s, and I had to work all day.
Yeah. So. Yeah. The weather is actually getting better here, but last weekend, when I went to bed on Friday night, it was minus 16 degrees without the wind chill. They said the wind chill was about minus 40 degrees outside up here in New Hampshire.
Yeah. So your weather's making my local news.
Yeah, there was a lot of frozen pipes.
Oh, my goodness.
And they actually recorded the lowest temperature ever up in Mount Washington. It was negative 105 degrees.
Yeah, I saw that weather report, and the building is shaking while the guy is talking.
Yeah.
I was like, my goodness. And to think just in five months right at it, that is going to be some of the best motorcycle riding there is in the country.
Yeah. Well, like they say in New England, you know, wait 5 minutes and the weather will change. And that was true because, you know, that Saturday was about, you know, 4 degrees all day. And then the following Sunday, it was about 38 degrees. So,
gosh, yeah,
it was crazy.
But you're having fun out there. So you can't ride a motorcycle when the weather is that horrible, but you can ride something else.
Yeah, I've been putting in some miles on that snowmobile.
Do you have a Upshift Podcast sticker on it?
Oh, of course I do. Okay. I thought on my windshield.
I thought so. And do you have a Harley sticker on it anywhere?
I don't think so.
Okay. You'll have to get one.
But I went for a ride yesterday. Went out for a long ride yesterday. Could be the last day. There was a lot of bare spots.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, the rocks are starting to show through the snow because it has been warm here.
So it's melted away.
Yeah, so the snow is melting, and so I don't know. That could have been my last ride yesterday.
Okay, well, that's a good thing because you're going to go from the snowmobile over to the motorcycle.
This is true, and I'd much rather be on the motorcycle. I woke up this morning, and my legs were sore from bouncing around on that snowmobile.
Yeah, I saw your pictures. Looks pretty cool, so check them out there. Follow Brian on Instagram and see some of the things that he's doing up there. Why it snows and you can't ride a motorcycle, but there's other things that you have been doing. And when me and Brian get together, we send back and forth, you know, some notes of kind of what the podcast is going to be about. And I've had some interaction with people, and they're like, oh, yeah, we like the format. You kind of talk about the weather, and you talk about the bikes, and you talk about parts, and then you always throw in some news. And so thank you for the interaction with everyone on Instagram and Facebook, and sending stickers out to people. And actually, I got some stickers from our old buddy down in the lower part of South Carolina, old Garage 51. So I'll have you something when I see you in Daytona here in a few weeks.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, but there's some new parts, and I'm so jealous. And it coming up Valentine's Day, so I'm assuming you bought all of these new parts for your Valentine.
Oh, definitely. Yep.
Okay.
She is my Valentine.
Yes. Yes. Because the things that you bought were, nice and shiny. And even today, you got some new parts for it.
Yes. Well, so the one part I bought, the side covers, that was just a complete, like, I always wanted them, but I don't know. I didn't want to spend the money.
Yeah.
And I was on Instagram, and Death Trap Motorsports had just posted them for, you know, a really good price. So I caught it quick. He had posted it just 10 minutes ago when I looked at it. And I, without even any hesitation, I usually, you know, if I see a part for sale, I got to think about it. And then, you know, I'll think about it. And then by the time I'm like, I work it up in my mind, I'm like, that I really want the part, I'll go back and it'll already be sold.
Yeah.
So instead of doing that this time, I already knew I wanted them in my head. So as soon as I saw him, I said, I will take those covers right now. And he was awesome. I paid him. He sent, and literally within an hour, he sent me the tracking number. He had a, he printed it out and he shipped them out the next day.
Oh, that's awesome.
So yeah, Death Trap Motorsports on Instagram is a good seller. He's got good stuff.
Awesome.
And I think he has his own shop, and he's doing good things.
Good deal. And then, so you took them, and then you proceeded to polish them.
Yeah. I've been polishing them for a few days now.
So, yeah. Well, so with your detail background, and I'm assuming you have all of that equipment to polish. Is that something you're going to get into, or are you going to retire from that?
The polishing, no, I don't usually do polishing with the detailing. So
okay,
that was definitely something kind of new to me. I mean, I've polished parts before, but never to the extent of like a mirror finish, you know?
Yes.
So I started off with the sandpaper. I went from 220 all the way up to 3000 sand grit to grit paper.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it took a lot of elbow grease. And then, you know, after I did all that, and then I used some polish to polish them, and they came out pretty good. They're pretty shiny in person. They still have, you know, that stainless steel. You can see the grain.
Yeah. But
they're pretty good.
Yeah. And to me, on a part like that is handmade. So and these are Screaming Fab side covers, correct?
Yep. Okay. Yep.
They're handmade in around St. Louis by Steve Chamberlain. He hand makes these. If you follow him on Instagram, you will see he'll put up a reel or something, and it comes in as sheets of they're made out of, well, I forget, what are they made out of? What is the
They're made out of stainless steel.
Stainless, but there's a number to that, and they're like such and such stainless steel.
Yeah, I don't know the number, 404 stainless steel. I don't know the number.
Yeah, and so he fabricates these by hand in his shop. And, you know, you could go back. He actually has a YouTube video on it and how he has it's set up, and he has the measurements. And, you know, he made them for, the story behind this is he wanted something kind of FXR stylish or something different than the old plastic side covers for the touring bikes. And he just kind of made it right there in his shop. And it became a business and does real well with it.
Yeah. Yeah. They're pretty awesome. You're breaking up a little bit. Did you do something different over there on your end over there?
No, man, I'm sitting here in the sunny South Carolina here at my office.
All right.
Are you missing me?
A little bit. You get a little broken up, but.
Oh, well, okay. If you're listening to this podcast and you've made it this long, hopefully on the next podcast, we are going to get a little bit better on the recording. Brian's doing this on the little microphone that you have there, and I'm doing mine on some Amazon microphone. And we're going to go to a different recording platform and kind of get better at this. But so just want to tell everybody. So if you can put up with the horrible audio that we have now, when you listen next time, it'll be better.
It's going to get better. All right, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yes, it's only getting better. But we'll continue talking about motorcycle parts. In that, okay, I'm going to throw this out to you, and I sent you this. So, used bikes. You know, we buy used bikes, and we talk about used bikes. But if you have been on the internet, this has been passed around for a while. About 3 weeks ago, there was a 1908 Harley-Davidson. It sold for $935,000 after fees. So does that make your FXR and my old 95 Softail worth anymore?
I don't think so.
It was a leather strap tank 1908. Supposedly, if you go in there, and you could just Google it. I think it was at Mecum auction. And out in Las Vegas, when they had the motorcycle auction, it was probably the most period correct. It had been restored, but I think all of the original parts came with it. Did you look at that?
Yeah, I kind of glanced through it. I don't know. Those old bikes, they don't really, I mean.
They don't do anything for me. I mean, they're fun to look at.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they are art pieces, we'll say. Can you say that? They're in a museum. They are on display. Well, you know what? When we go to Milwaukee, there will be a few guys up there that are riding around on some early 1910. I'm sure there's going to be something close to that old. It'll be in the parade, and you will see them. And they'll be parked out on the street right next to a 2023 Road Glide. And these guys are dressed period correct, too. With the old Harley sweaters on and, you know, the whole get up from, you know, back, you know, in the turn of the century there, clothing. But
yeah, that'll be pretty cool to see.
Yeah, that is cool to see. But, yeah, I just thought, wow, somebody out there paid that kind of money for a motorcycle that I'm going to say they're not going to ride.
No, that's going to go sit in this garage.
Uh-huh. Or in his museum, or in his over his mantle, or in the middle of his living room, or wherever. I mean, how many motorcycles could you buy for $935,000?
$935,000?
Yes. I mean, you could buy a Road Glide for every day of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, some. You could have three Road Glides and three FXRs for every day of the year.
Yeah, well, you could have three of everything and then still have a dream garage to keep them in.
That's pretty wild. I saw that and I was like, man, maybe my old Softail went up a dollar or two, but hey, it is what it is. But you got some other parts. Let's get back to parts. So your bike, the Road Glide from New Hampshire, is ready to roll to Daytona, but you got something else special put on today. What was it?
Yeah, I got my chop bags back from paint today.
Awesome.
So pretty excited about that. The color match was perfect. They look great. I love that look. It gives it, with the FXR side covers and the bags, it just gives it that FXR look, like an FXRP.
Yep.
So yep.
Your rear fender looked good. I saw the picture. I can't wait to see that bike.
Yeah, I can't wait to ride it. I can't wait to get out and ride it.
Yeah, you can just back it out, take a picture, and shove it back in the garage and wipe the snow off of it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
But this week is supposed to be almost 60 degrees one day, so I might be able to get it out for a little ride.
Okay. Well, hopefully it'll rain and all the salt will get off the road.
Yeah. Hopefully. That's true. That's true.
Yes.
I mean, I'm still cleaning from the one time I took it for a ride about a month ago, and it was just a little bit of wet on the ground, and it just made the whole bike so dirty. But it gives me something to do. I've been cleaning a little bit here and there every day.
Yeah. So when you, I don't want to rush things, but when you get back from Daytona, is there a whole week of taking the bike apart and detailing it again?
Maybe. If the weather is going to be not rideable, then yes. Okay. But if it goes right into riding season, which I hope it would, then no.
I'm ready. Again, the weather is getting better, and we're getting some more daylight. So, yeah, I was able to get out last week a little bit on the old Softail and spin it around. News on my Road Glide is it's still in the same position it was last time. We're still waiting on parts. I did, and I told Shane I would talk about him. But have you ever heard of Rick Rack?
No, I never heard of that until when you sent it to me. I never did hear of that.
Okay, so Shane is he owns Rick Rack along with his father. He invented a bag that fits on, and I have one, fits on a tour box luggage rack or a luggage rack that you run, on a touring bike. And his father have the story correct. I'm going to have him on the podcast. It'll probably be during a downtime because he travels to all the rallies. He starts in Daytona and he doesn't end till Texas in November. So he is on the road pretty much year round, just a few months to regroup and repack the trailer up. But
so he's going to be in Daytona?
He is going to be in Daytona. Yeah, he will be at Bruce Rossmeyer's. Okay. Excuse me, it's not Bruce Rossmeyer's anymore. So he'll be at
Teddy Morris's.
Teddy Morris's Daytona, and actually he's bringing another trailer, and he'll be out at the Speedway. So, well, you'll get to go see all. He does lights, suspensions, front end. He does the wide tire. He can pretty much do anything. But the Rick Rack system that him and his father come up with has just taken off, and he's expanded it and made it better. And I bought one 2 years ago and rolled it to Sturgis. It's great because on the road, you can just pop it off and you don't have to get anything out of your bags. You can put, you know, if you're traveling for 3 straight days, put everything in the Rick Rack. It's right there close to you. Unlock it, bolt it off. They even have some with wheels on it. Boom, you're in the, you know, the hotel room or wherever you're staying, and you don't have to dig anywhere in your bag. So that was pretty cool. But I had met him, and we, again, on Marketplace, he sells used parts. So I drove up there. He's not that far from me, just a little over an hour. And I grabbed some takeoff parts to put my Road Glide back together. And brand new takeoff parts. I bought a brand new Harley Davidson headlight for just a couple $100. And if you've went and priced those things at the Harley shop, they're quite pricey. Yeah. I've looked at other, like I looked at the Moons like you have, and I was looking at some other brands, and it's like, man, the price is just, man, I want to go to Daytona, but I need a headlight. So I'm like, hey, the new lights and the new bikes are not bad. They're LED, they look good, and I'm going to run it.
Yeah. So. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, LEDs come a long way, so but you get what you pay with LED for sure.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, and there's a lot of, I mean, there's some Amazon stuff out there, and I've seen it up close, and after about 2 or 3 months or a couple hundred miles, it doesn't look all that great. So
yeah,
I knew that this would fit. I knew that it was just plug and play. It was a very good price, and Shane helped me out and bought a couple other parts, and we're going to get it going. But still waiting on some other things for the old Road Glide, so we might have to pull the old Softail out and ride it today, Tom.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so that's what it's tonight after we finish recording. I'll be home and be tinkering around in my little garage and kind of go over it, which I ride it a pretty good bit, so it's always in rideable condition. They're just going to make sure that everything is in tip-top shape. where it sits. I always look at it to make sure it's not leaking anything, and it hadn't been leaking anything. So I think we're good, but probably going to be taking off on the Softail. So when we do ride, just tell me where we're going to be, and I'll see you there. I won't be able to keep up with the old 95 Softail down the road, because you got an older bike. So if you bring your shovel head, then me and you can ride together.
Yeah. But you'll be able to keep up. We're not going to go crazy. We'll take the back roads and stuff. So
yeah, 65 on the highway. You're cracking 70 on that bike. Yeah, it's a little scary. But anyway.
Yeah.
We'll move on to the next note that we have written down here.
Well, hey, it's not official yet. You're not officially out of the road.
I'm not officially out of the road game yet, Daytona. I mean, we're down to, okay, as we sit today, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So you say, oh, 3 weeks is a long time. Dude, a week goes by so quick.
Yeah. I mean, I can remember just texting my buddy saying, oh, it's 100 days till we leave the Daytona. And now I'm leaving in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I'm leaving in 14 days. So,
yeah, it jumps up on you quick. But I'd sent you another article. Were you able to read that? And it says, do loud pipes save lives?
Yes, they. I think they do.
Okay, I think they do. There is a little bit of controversy in this article, but we'll just talk about that for a minute. Do you, podcast listeners, think loud pipes save lives? And what that is, most Harleys have a loud exhaust system on it. Do they not, Brian?
They do.
I mean, if you get them from the Harley,
I mean, you got a Harley, that's what it's known for, to have, be loud.
Yeah, the rumble, the V-twin rumble.
When you get they've patented that exhaust system.
Yes.
The lope of the cam, it's a patented sound, so you can't copy it.
Yeah. Yeah. They patent the sound. But when you get a brand new bike from the Harley shop, you can't even hear it. It's so restricted.
That sounds like a sewing machine.
Yes. And the first thing people do is they take those stock mufflers or the whole pipe, and it goes in the trash.
The whole head pipe and
everything. And they put on a new pipe. And for the most part, it's louder than that stock pipe. And so I can't take credit for this, but somebody along the way come up with the slogan, loud pipes save lives. Because you're in traffic, and if you're just one bike, you know what sounds better than one Harley Davidson?
Two Harleys.
Yeah, or a whole group of them. Yes, but yeah. Well, yeah, more than one.
But it is true. If you're riding along on the highway and you're dumb enough to ride in someone's blind spot for more than a mile,
yeah,
and say they start coming over, you crack the throttle, they're going to hear it. And they're going to say, whoa, what's that? So, and they're going to go back in their lane. So in my eyes, that's where it comes in handy, or anything. You know, it's just they can hear you there. They know you're there. And that's the whole point.
Yes. Yeah. And yeah, so it's awareness. People can hear you. Along with the loud pipe, you probably need some good lights on there too.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, those the Moons MC headlights that I got on the Road Glide now, those things are so bright, and people are going to be flashing me thinking I have my high beams on.
Yeah, those would be funny. Here's another thing on the loud pipe save lives. So in Daytona, in Sturgis, Laconia, Myrtle Beach, you name a rally, there is a sign somewhere, there's a lot of them. In Daytona, I can take you to a few of them. And when we're down there, we'll take a picture and we'll post it. But it says, ride quiet. Yep. You remember seeing those?
Oh, yeah. I've seen a bunch of those. Yeah. Yep.
And yes, I mean, you know, you don't want to be riding through a neighborhood, you know, just wide open. I get that. And that's why that is. But you know, so they have to put those out there because people have done that. They have, I mean, is there a noise ordinance in certain areas? I'm sure there are in some gated communities. There's a noise ordinance. In some gated communities, you probably can't even own a motorcycle or have it, you know, on your property.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If those strict HOAs and stuff. But yeah. Actually, my buddy down in Daytona has gotten a ticket for loud pipes, right down. Yeah, I remember he got the ticket. I remember taking a picture of him with the ticket, and he had the Samson street sweepers, and those things were loud.
Yes.
And but actually, also one of the beaches up in New Hampshire, you know, if you cruise around and they hear you, they'll pull you over and they'll stick the whatever that thing is called up against the muffler, the decibel reading.
Yeah, the decibel meter.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And if you're over the decibel mark, then you're getting a ticket too. So
we'll see. Okay, and I'm probably going to offend a lot of people when I say this, but loud stereos offend me more than loud pipes. I don't want to hear your music three blocks away. And when you're at a stoplight, there was a guy, so today, this is even what made me think of this. Where my office is, I can sit and look out the window, and I heard a stereo, and I'm like, that is ridiculously loud. He must be out front. Oh, no. It was probably another 3 minutes before he passed in front of the office here.
Jesus.
And he had it wide open to where I could understand the music he was playing. I mean, you could hear the words clear as day, but that offends me more than loud pipes. I like loud pipes. So, I mean.
Yeah, I like loud pipes, and I used to like the loud music, the bass. I used to like having the bass. You could hear the bass, you know, you could hear someone coming with the bass, but then if you had the light and you're sitting next to him and your mirror's shaking because of his music,
yeah, it
gets a little annoying.
It does. So, I guess we can say that loud pipes do save lives.
I agree. I think they do. I mean, for sure. Like, you can be heard, you can be seen. So.
Yeah. That's hilarious. I saw that article, and I thought it was quite funny. And then there's been a couple rebuttal articles to that. And I'm not going to go into much detail, but it was done overseas. I'm sure there are probably way more laws than there are here in the States. But, you know, I like loud pipes. And if you got drag pipes on your Sportster or your Shovel Head or your Twin Cam or Milwaukee 8 or the Neighbor Haters, I mean, I like it, man. Turn it up. It's music to my ears, shall we say.
Yes. But it's probably not music to everybody's ears.
Not to everybody's ears. Just to guys like us that, you know, it's motorcycles all day. That's kind of what we think about. When we're not eating, we're thinking about motorcycles. And probably while we're eating,
for sure,
we're thinking about motorcycles.
So, you mentioned something about motorcycle superstitions, right?
Yes.
So, never park facing the door of a place? I've never heard that one before. So, you're saying don't park facing the front door.
Yes. And this goes back to when I first started riding, a couple guys I rode with, they were way older than me, and they've been riding a long time with each other. And they kind of took me under their wing, and they're like, you know, go with us. We'll teach you the ropes, if so to speak.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I really can't remember where it was, but we got to talking about that, and that was kind of a superstition thing to where you never park facing the door of the establishment. It'd be a bar, restaurant, the Harley shop. They always pulled in, wrote, and kind of did a circle, and they parked out kind of on the edge facing out towards the exit. And here was another thing they always, and I like this too, always, unless you're on a hill, but you want to park flat, they always left their bike in neutral. Never parked it in gear.
Yeah, I never put my bike in gear when I park it, unless I'm on a hill.
But this guy's name was Bill, and he's since passed on. But it was just so funny. And there was a couple superstitions that he had. But that was a big one, and I had never heard it. I've never heard anybody talk about it since then. But it was never park your bike facing the door of anything. Gas station, whatever. I just remember us. I was kind of okay. Do I want to? I'm laughing, but I don't want to offend him. I mean, he's taking me in and riding with me, and you know, showing me the rope, so to speak. and you know, hanging out with me, showing me the culture of motorcycling, you know, being a biker, so to speak. And he was not in a club. It was just, we were just riding. But yeah, that was one thing. Here was another thing. And this is somewhat, you may know this, the Gremlin Bells.
Yeah, the green bike is always I've always heard that. I'm trying to think. I don't even know if I've ever had a green bike.
No, the Gremlin Bell.
The Gremlin Bell, yeah.
Yeah, the Gremlin Bell. Yeah, I'll get to green bikes in a minute because I have a story about that. Do you have a Gremlin Bell?
I think the Cop Glide had one on it when I bought it. So I didn't touch it. I just left it on.
Okay. And so when you sold it, you left it on there?
Yep. Kept it on.
Okay. Because every bike that I have bought that had one on there, I took it off.
Really?
Yeah. And they are in a little cup in my shop.
I was told you're not supposed to take them off.
Oh, well, see, I always thought that, you know, so the superstition is someone has to buy you the Gremlin Bell. You cannot buy your own Gremlin Bell.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Okay. So if we're wrong, please correct us. Send us a message on Instagram, Facebook. But from what I know, being around, you know, motorcycles and culture and knowing, you know, talking to people and stuff, that the Gremlin Bell, someone should buy that for you. You can't buy your own. Okay. And then when you put it on your bike and you sell that bike, you take it with you to your next bike.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, see, I left it on the bike and I had someone else, someone gave me some more Gremlin Bells, you know, to put on the Road Glide. So I was like, okay, that'll take place of the Cop Glide Bells. And I'll kind of just put the new ones on the Road Glide.
Okay. And the super, or the not super, well, yeah, that's the superstition. That's what we're talking about. Is that having the Gremlin Bell on there, kind of your guardian angel, will keep the road gremlins away from you. Is that what you heard?
Yep, that's exactly what I heard too.
Okay. So I have probably 10, 20 in a little cup, bucket, what have you there that over the years. And there's actually one. It came from a dealership down in Georgia, and it had a little slogan and everything, the coolest Harley shop in Georgia, whatever, and I gave it to a friend of mine because he's from Georgia. He didn't put it on his bike. That wasn't for the purpose. He was just going to set it on his desk or, you know, put it in his little trinket box or whatever. But, yeah. So I got one for Christmas. A Gremlin Bell for Christmas.
Huh.
And should I put it on my bike?
So, is there one on the Softail?
No. I have never had a Gremlin Bell on any of my bikes. If I bought one and it had one on there, I took it off. I've never had a Gremlin Bell on any of my bikes.
Huh.
Never.
Interesting.
Just never got into it. Maybe.
Well, that's good.
We don't like Brian. We're not going to buy him a Gremlin Bell. I don't know. I see him at all the rallies. Every t-shirt joint you go in has a, you know, live to ride, ride to live. And I got, you know, the skull or the Maltese cross or whatever, but I never bought one, but I was given one for Christmas this year.
Huh.
Should I put it on? I mean, I'm asking you, Brian, should I put this Gremlin Bell on? Should I do it?
Yeah. I mean,
which bike should I put it on?
Well, you got to put it on the new Road Glide.
Okay. So I shouldn't put it on the Softail if I ride it to Daytona?
Oh, there's not. Yeah.
I mean, or do I put it on my keychain that I always carry with me? I mean, what do you do? I mean, I don't want to mess up the superstition. I mean, I don't want to go against the gremlins.
I've never heard anything, but when I bought my Cop Glide, I saw it on there, and the voice of reason said, do not take that off.
Really?
So I said, all right, I'm leaving it on there. And, I mean, that bike with the Gremlin Bells ran like crap in Daytona. So
so now you're scaring me.
Yeah, so
I don't know what to do.
Well, you got them for Christmas, so you didn't get them. You didn't buy them for yourself. So
I did. Okay, so as of right now, I mean, I'm I'm still in the good graces of the guardian angel bells. Is that what you call it? It's called a gremlin bell to keep the gremlins away, but man, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I put them, whatever bike you take into Daytona, you put them on, you leave them on that bike.
Okay. And then if I, next Christmas or for my birthday, if someone gives me a gremlin bell, I put it on my other bike.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't buy them for yourself. That's the superstition.
Yeah, that's a superstition. What if I don't want it and I just want to hang it in my garage?
Yeah, exactly. Put it in your cup with the rest of the gremlins you have.
I mean, am I putting bad juju on me if I don't do this?
I don't know. That's, I mean, well, maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's why the Road Glide, the parts aren't here yet, because it's got bad juju.
So I need to go down to CNC Thunder and put my gremlin bell on it.
Yeah.
My parts will show up.
As soon as you put the gremlin bells on, the parts will start showing up, and you'll take that Road Glide to Daytona.
If I walk in there and do that tomorrow. Yeah, they're going to laugh at me.
You got to make sure they're not looking.
Oh, I just like sneak in and do it under cover of darkness. Gosh. Ah, well, I mean, okay, reach out to us on Instagram. If you've listened to this podcast this far, you'd be like, those two clowns are talking about gremlin bells. But really, I mean, that's a valid question. I mean, I don't know. Again, I've never had one on there, so I don't know what to do. But on another superstition, green motorcycles. Have you heard that superstition?
What did you say, the green bikes?
Yeah, green motorcycles.
I've heard it. I don't know if I've ever owned a green motorcycle, so I can't fall into that category.
I have not either. And I have heard that, again, Bill, when I first started riding, he always said that. He goes, and you'll always know that Harley will never put out a green motorcycle. But they come out with and the green was in the name, Fly Green.
Yeah, I remember that color.
Remember that? Fly Green and black and gold. But they, again, I've seen older bikes and they looked, original paint and they were green. Army, the military had green motorcycles. Where did that come from? And I kind of did a little bit of Googling and there was all kinds of stuff out there. But man, I have heard that for as long as I've been into motorcycles. Green motorcycles are bad luck.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from, but I've heard it too. I've heard that ever since I bought a motorcycle. So a long time I've been hearing that same thing.
I mean, okay, what if you found a great deal on a green FXR? Would you buy it?
Yeah. Yeah,
I would too. So, yeah, that's crazy. So again, here, reach out to us on Instagram, send us a message or tag us in a post about green motorcycles. And I see a lot of green motorcycles. And every time I do, I go back to green motorcycles are bad luck. But
yeah, it's funny how those things come about.
They are. And I think they're funny. Not really. I mean, yes, a superstition, gremlin bells, green bike. I don't park facing the door, park facing out, park in neutral. Any other thing you ever heard?
No, that's
tough stuff.
I've been trying to think of some, like, I'm not really a superstitious person, so I don't really, actually, I shouldn't say that. When I do play golf, I have to have a certain amount of golf tees in my pocket at all times. So I have a certain items I keep in my pocket. So 3 tees, a quarter, and that's it. And then,
where'd that come from?
So I guess that's the only thing I'm superstitious about.
Yeah, but where did that come from? Is that?
I don't know. I think it was. I think one day I played really well. I had a really good round, and at the end of the day, when I went to put the stuff back into my bag, I noticed I had 3 tees and this certain quarter that I always use for a ball mark in my pocket.
Oh.
So ever since then, I was like, I'm going to just keep 3 tees and that quarter in my pocket because I played well that day. So that'll help me play well the next day.
Okay. I wonder if we could relate that to motorcycles. What could we keep in our pocket? I mean, other than money.
Yeah.
Stuff, but
well, Well, that'll come in like, you know, what's in your saddlebag? Like, is there something in your saddlebag that you like to, like, you know, maybe even like a Swiss Army knife is good luck to you.
Yeah, yeah.
Or superstition.
Always have a knife in there.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a prerequisite. You know what else I just got? Because we'll just jump right into it. What's in your saddlebag? I got a brand new first aid kit.
Yeah, you got to have that.
Yeah, I mean, and it's got everything in it. I mean, it is a, we'll say, professional first aid kit. My girlfriend got it for me, and I really like it. And I hope I never have to use it, but I have it if I need to.
Well, that's good. Well, you never know.
You never know.
Because, like you said, truck stop rest areas are pretty clean, and I like going to the truck stops.
I do too.
If you pull off and you stop at Johnny's gas by the dollar and go inside, and you know the bathroom kind of doesn't look so great, then you're gonna want a first aid kit to,
to give clean. You a tetanus shot. Yes. So yeah, traveling and. Yeah, always in your saddlebag. Carry some stuff to clean a bathroom to where CSI couldn't find anything. So you can go to the bathroom after you eat, you know, 4 or 5 Bucky's barbecue sandwiches.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it – and here, and I'm going to call out my buddy Dwayne, who used to be on this podcast. We could be riding down the road, and this happens so many times. And there will be a huge, nice, brand new gas station. And there's always the one that was there before, like a block away or across the street. And it's run down and half the signs falling down. Guess where he pulls in?
The rundown one?
Every single time. And I'm like, really? He's like, well, there's not a line over here. I was like, I don't care. I'll wait in line for nice things. Like a nice gas pump that I'm sure has fresh gas in it, or a nice bathroom, or you walk in and it smells awful in there and you want to buy a Gatorade or a drink, and you know, the cooler's not even keeping it cold.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so yeah, in your saddlebag, carry things that will help you on a motorcycle trip.
Well, it's funny because I just got my new saddlebags painted, and I switched over the lids today. I put them all back together. So now, with it being 2 weeks from Daytona, I'm going to start packing my saddlebags, which I have to do a little different this year because
they're smaller.
Well, they're really not much smaller. Like, it literally, the tip got cut off. So, all right, you're right. I can't carry an extra car charger now, phone charger. Yeah. I mean, that's all really. It's really not. It's not really.
Yeah. It's not like they're you know, packed down.
Yeah, I mean, I can probably still fit the same amount of stuff in there. But this year, like I said, I'm going to Key West, so I'm going to have to pack, I'm going to have to actually use my saddlebags as my, you know, just my luggage stuff, because I'm not going to be carrying a backpack. Well, I might carry a backpack. But
you're going to ride with a backpack on your back? Or are you just going to tie it down on the seat?
Maybe. I might put the my little backrest on so I can tie something to it.
There you go.
Yeah, I think that's what I might do.
Okay.
But yeah, like I said, so I'm going to be packing my saddlebags, put all my Indy Ridge gloves in there.
Indy Ridge boots.
Indy Ridge boots. I'm wearing them right now.
Oh yeah. Were you able to wear those riding the snowmobile?
I did a couple times, but and then after a while, I started wearing my snowboarding boots, and they were a lot more comfortable.
Okay.
Just for the snow, because they were, you know, a lot thicker and kept me warm.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, they're motorcycle boots.
Yeah, exactly. So they're not made for the snowmobiling.
No, they're not. Maybe we could talk to them, see if they could get that for just the guys that live up there that have snowmobiles. And they're growing. Where do you put that thing when you park it for the? Where does it go? Does it take up room?
Yeah, it's just gonna go out in the woods, out in the back of my house. It's not gonna get garage time, that's for sure.
Oh, it's not. So it just throw a tarp over it and stick it in the corner.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe you put a pallet underneath the track so it doesn't get stuck in the mud or something. Maybe.
Oh, okay.
So it keeps some air circulating under it. But yeah, that's just gonna stay out. I got a little spot out in the woods, so I'll just keep it out there.
Okay. Well, I was wondering about that. I'm like, hey, that it's a fairly big thing. And I was like, that'll take up motorcycle room.
Yeah, it's big and it's a pain in the ass to move. So it's like, if you got to work on it, it's kind of a pain. They're fun to ride, but they're a pain to move. They're a pain to work on. And, but it's something to do in the wintertime.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, it definitely. Yeah. So let's talk about this. We will be in Daytona. It'll be our first rally of the 23 season.
You're going to Daytona?
Yeah. Can you believe it? I can't wait, dude. And I know we have talked about Daytona so much, but I mean, it's the kickoff for us. I mean, you're snowed in. I mean, I have better weather right now than you do, but man, this winter, it's just been rainy and cold, and it just, and you start dreaming about Daytona, all the times you've been and the good times you had, and it just gets you excited about it. And then you start packing. It's only December. I know. And you go, you know, where my stuff is, it's so funny. It went from the closet to into the bedroom. Now I've slid it all the way across the bedroom and it's at the bedroom door. Like it's ready to jump out the door and get strapped on the bike. But
it's ready to roll.
Yeah. And it's actually been in a pile since December. And I'll add stuff to it and I'll look at it and be like, oh, yeah, I need to take this or I don't need to take that. So, yeah. So we are going to get together. And we're going to do a ride for any listener that wants to meet up with us and go. And we're putting those details together.
Yeah, we haven't quite ironed it out yet, but we're going to.
Yeah, so on our next episode, we'll have all those details. And we're going to post it on our social medias, Instagram, because that's pretty much what we work off of, the platform we work off of. And we're going to have a good time.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Hopefully the weather holds out, and I mean, if it's 65 degrees, it's better than my weather. So.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely. I'm gonna, fingers crossed, it's gonna be some really, really good weather, and yeah. I'm excited about it. So be looking for that. What else do we have to go through here? Well, other than that, what else are we gonna do in Daytona?
Well, I'm excited about hitting some demo rides.
I am too. So when you pull up there and you sign up and you get in line, what line are you getting in? What's the first bike you're going to ride?
Well, if they have the Lowrider ST, that's going to be my first line. But if not, I kind of want to ride the Fat Boy for some reason.
Okay.
I don't know. I've never owned a Fat Boy. I've ridden them before, but probably a Fat Boy. And then, you know, then I'll ride the CVOs, of course, whatever they got.
Oh, yeah.
Just to see what the, you know, the big motors.
Yeah, I'm hoping that the live wire will be there.
Oh yeah, that'll be cool to ride.
That's ooh, yeah. You'll that'll really excite you. Yeah, I'm excited about that. Cruising around, seeing all the sights and sounds, and they're so, if you follow any type of motorcycling event, parts, anybody that's into, you know, the motorcycle scene, there's been I think this will be one of the biggest Daytonas. We said last year was big, but I mean, is there not a bike show or some big event going on every day and sometimes two?
Oh, it's crazy.
There's some pre-Daytona stuff going on in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I saw that and I was pissed because I'm going to be in Key West. I'm not going to be able to go to that. But yeah. there is a show every day for every sort of bike, you know, old school choppers, FXRs, Sportsters.
Yes, performance baggers.
Radio baggers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, there's four or five stereo competitions.
I mean, I'm sure there's going to be seven people at the Big Wheel Bagger Show.
Yeah. Who did we just piss off by saying? So there's going to be seven Big Wheel Baggers in Daytona?
They're all going to meet up together on the same day.
Yeah. And ride around with their, oh, gosh. There's another podcast. If you want to listen to it, it's the Daily Biker, and that guy, his name is Marcus, and I'm calling him out. Their last episode was probably one of their best.
Oh, when they went through all the bikes,
man,
that was pretty funny.
We should take a page and do that ourselves.
Yeah, Marcus, he's pretty funny. He was actually talking about He thinks that maybe a Road King ST could be in the works.
If so, I'm going to have to borrow some money from the Upshift podcast. Thank you. Buy that.
That would be, I mean, he works at White Lightning, but he says he doesn't know anything on the inside, which I believe. And
yeah, I worked at dealerships, and I'll be honest with you, you're the last to know.
Yeah,
customers come in there, and they're like, when you get this part? And I'm like, oh, I didn't know that was out. I didn't see that.
Yep, so.
Yeah, if a Road King ST comes out,
but that could be a mid-year release. You never know.
Yeah, but I'll go ahead and say this: it probably comes with a black motor, and you know me, I'm not going to have it.
I watched a YouTube video the other day where someone was thinking, because the Road Glide, which one came in the whatever one comes in Baja Orange, they were complaining that it came Baja Orange, and the motor was chrome.
And yeah, the Street Glide.
Yeah, and they said Harley has been orange and black, so they really missed the boat on this one.
Oh, the new colors. Have you been able to get by a dealership and see anything?
Not in person yet. I mean, the dealership down the street from my house. I mean, like I said, the dealerships now are not what they used to be. I used to like going into the dealerships.
True.
But now, unless you really know someone in the dealership, like a salesman, and you can go talk to them, I feel like you go in there and you're just like, you feel pressured, and it's like, it's not a comfortable environment for me.
Yeah. Not so, a brown kind of thing. Yeah. No, I get it. No.
So what I'll do is I'll go in there, I'll check out some bikes, and I'll just say, oh, I'm just getting some parts. And then I'll walk over to the parts, the guy, and I'll ask him if he's got parts for the FXR, and he'll say no. And I'll say, yeah. All right, go.
Yeah. So you're not lying.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's so funny. Yes. Yeah. When you have older bikes, it's funny to go to the Harley shop. Because just about everybody that works there, we're not around in, what, your bike's a 88, 89?
88,
yep. Yeah, 88, and I have old 95 Heritage. So there's some parts that will fit on there that they may have, but 9 times out of 10, no. They may have a screw or a bolt or some little bitty knickknack that's fits on everything. But
yeah, you know,
for the most part, yeah, they don't.
I just thought of something. When you come up for Laconia, we're going to have to ride out to Seacoast Harley-Davidson.
Okay. Because
there's a salesman there that I know, and he's into FXRs. He has an FXR. He loves FXRs.
Okay.
And, well, he loves the performance baggers, but he has FXRs. And I might have told you this, but last time I was there, you know, we were talking about FXRs, and he's like, come with me. And so Seacoast Harley-Davidson, they're known for – they do all the police bike stuff, right?
Okay.
So in the back portion of the shed, they had it was like a 1989 FXRP, and it had 5 miles on it. It was brand new.
Wow.
Just sitting up in the rafters. And I was like, wow, it was pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
And I walked back in the shed, and there was, you know, police bikes. And that was when I was riding the cop glide that day. So when I saw like all the police bikes back there, it was kind of cool to see.
Yeah.
Cause they do all the service work for the police bikes. They do all the graphics and everything. So
that's cool. Yes. I like the older stuff. I mean, and I like the new stuff. I like new technology. I mean, my goodness. I mean, we're doing a podcast. Did you ever think 10 years ago that there would be this type of platform to talk about motorcycles? No, I'd never in a million years would have ever dreamed this. It used to be a radio show that was only in Florida about motorcycles.
Yeah.
Way back in the day. And I caught it while I was in Florida at Bike Week 20 years ago. But yeah, I love new stuff and it's cool. But to me, the older bikes, to me, this is just me, my opinion, more character, they just look better. They're more appealing to me.
I agree. Do you I remember when I used to, before podcasts, before Instagram, I used to get excited when I got home from work. I would jump onto the computer and log into the forums and the Jockey Journal. I was always on the Jockey Journal.
Okay.
And it was just all about old bikes, shovel heads.
I don't remember that one. I was on HD Forum, and then there was a, like, what was it called? There was, well, there was this one. It was Harley's and the number 4 sale. I was on that thing every day.
Yep.
And there was, what was the other one? Something B-Twin. But again, magazines. How many motorcycle magazines did you get?
Oh, a ton. I used to love them.
Oh, and yeah.
Even Chop, you ever go on Chop Cult?
Yes, I've been on there.
Yeah, they've been around for a while, so they've actually stuck around. It's still pretty good.
Yep. American Iron, do you remember American Iron magazine?
Yeah, my shovelhead was going to go into that magazine, and then they went out of business. So I sent them the pictures. Everything got approved by the editor. So my shovel was going to be in the magazine in, like, the garage building section. And then it just disappeared. The magazine went out with COVID.
Oh, it shut down in a day.
Yeah, it shut down, and my hopes of being in the magazine were gone.
Gosh, magazine picture crushed.
Yep, it was the longest process, because I posted on Instagram.
Yeah.
And one of the writers got in touch with me, and he said, "I love your story. The bike is cool. I'd love to put it in my magazine." I sent him pictures. I sent him, like, a bio of the bike. And then it was like 3 months later, he's like, "All right, those are cool pictures. Can you send me one of this angle?" I'd send him that one. And then 2 months later, he said, "Awesome news. The editor is going to look at it." And then 2 months later, "Awesome. The editor, he just needs a few more things. Can you just send me these?" And then, like, the final email I got was, "The editor, he approved it. It's going to go in." And then COVID hit and it was gone.
Yeah. I mean, that thing shut down really, really quick.
Well,
so that magazine, it was American Iron. God, it was around since the early 90s. Yeah. But they had another magazine called Hot XL. Do you remember that one?
I don't.
It was all about Sportsters, and I bought a subscription. Well, I had a subscription to all of them, but so Hot XL went away, like, within a year. This is in the 90s. And they took your subscription, and it rolled over to just American Iron.
Yeah, that happened.
Had a XL, you know, a Sportster part in there. Yeah, the good old days of magazines.
Yeah, magazines. I like magazines.
Did you, I don't know how I did this, but I get the E magazine of Easy Rider.
Yeah, you sent me the one free issue or something like that. Yeah, like,
I've got a few of them.
Yeah, I don't.
It was pretty cool. The pictures of Daytona and from the 50s and 60s.
Yep. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, I just sit here at work and peck through it, but I still like a magazine in my hand.
Yeah. Oh, let's go back to Daytona.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Like you said, I think this year could be one of the biggest years, only because there's so many rumors going around right now that, well, I guess they're not rumors. They're actually true that the Dirty Harry's, the mm-hmm. bank, that Heaven's Barbecue, I think it is, right on A1A.
Yeah.
And there's one other, the Full Moon.
Yep.
Have all been sold.
That's what I heard. There's a big article there in the Daytona Herald or whatever that paper is. And then I've seen it all over social media.
Yeah, so I guess they've got sold to some big company. And what their idea is, they kind of want to make Daytona more of a year-round thing. Because I guess, you know, other than Bike Week and NASCAR and stuff, kind of Main Street's kind of dead.
Oh, yeah. Don't ever go when it's not an event, because the only thing open is the t-shirt place at one end, and if you go to the other end, the Boot Hill.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess they kind of want to put some fancy restaurants, kind of make it more of a year-round thing there. So,
yeah. Well, it'll ruin Main Street, you know. We go for Bike Week, and even if we don't go to Main Street, like I've said before, I've rode through, and there have been times where I didn't even go. But I mean, it's Main Street. Anytime a first timer goes with me, I'm like, "Well, we're going there. You've got to see this." I mean, you got to see it. Just stand here and look at the bikes come through, and it's what it's about. The same thing in Sturgis and other places. I mean. Yeah, that downtown atmosphere is so cool, and things are changing, but they're all move. It'll all move out to Ormond out there next to the Broken Spoke and the Iron Horse and the Harley Shop. It'll move that direction.
Yep. Yeah, it already kind of has, so.
Yeah. And it'll change. I mean, there will be, I mean, do you think there, at our age, will there be a time, say, 10 to 15 years from now that we would be like, I went last year, I'm not going to go this year?
You know what? I thought that, and then I've been going every year for the last 17 years. I don't think so.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine recently ask me, he's like, you go to Daytona every year? And I'm like, yeah, it's like the kickoff.
Yeah.
And then he kind of said that. He goes, well, yeah, we used to go. And I'm like, yeah, I remember when you used to go. And I was like, you don't anymore. Why not? He's like, well, you know, I went this year and I thought I'd give it a few years and not go.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I thought about Sturgis. It's so far out there. It's a commitment to ride halfway across the country. So, yeah, if you go 1 year, maybe you lay off 3 or 4 years and go back.
Yeah, I could see that.
But, you know, as close as I live to Daytona, I mean, I want to go every year. I mean, I didn't go last fall. That was probably the first fall I've missed in probably 10, 15 years.
Huh.
And it was just because the weather. I'm like, man, I do not want to ride all the way there in the rain and sit in the rain. And it worked out. I probably would have spent one day in the rain and it would have been great the rest of the time. But, you know, that's just the chance you take.
Yeah, exactly.
That you take. I mean, that's what this is about, is getting on a bike and riding. We're not all about rallies. We ride more than we go to bike rallies. I mean, that's one thing that me and Brian, since we live so far away from each other, that's where we get to meet up. We're going to be meeting up, I know, of three times already this year.
Yeah, so this year is going to be a big year. So I'm looking forward to Milwaukee, too. I've never been to Milwaukee. I've never been to the Harley Museum or anything like that. So I'm really looking forward to seeing some of that stuff.
Oh, yeah. That will be – your eyes will hurt. You're going to see so much Harley. Yeah, I mean, you definitely – we're yeah, that's – yeah, I'm excited about that one. I'm excited about all of them. I get it. You know, it's – this is what we live for.
Definitely.
I still have to work because I have habits, and that's motorcycles and food. So – so, I mean, come down to it and you had to pick, are you going to go to bike week or are you going to, well, okay. How about this? You can go to bike week on your old bike or the Road King ST comes out, but you can't go to bike week.
Oh,
God, what do you do?
Yeah, I take my old bike to bike week.
That's probably what I would do. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll go ahead and I would do that.
Yeah,
I'm not going to miss it. It's too much fun. We talked about it before in our other podcast. It's just, we have a good time. I love this culture. I love the people that ride motorcycles. And
yeah,
you can ride any brand. I mean, how many brands have you owned, Brian?
I've quite a few. I mean, from Suzuki, Honda, Triumph, BSA.
Yeah.
So I've owned a bunch.
Yeah. And we still meet and talk to people on different brands. I mean, it's about the motorcycle.
Yeah. But
not necessarily Harley.
I mean, well, Harley is, you know, a big part, but
yes.
I got a funny story. So I went up to Laconia one year with my buddy who had a Honda Shadow, whatever.
Is so he still your buddy?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
So we rode up there and I found a spot on Main Street and I parked and he couldn't find a spot and he parked up on the hill. And while we were walking around, we met up with a bunch of my other buddies who all had Harleys. Right. So when it came time to leave, we were like, all right, we're all going to meet. I'll get my bikes on Main Street. Their bikes were on Main Street, blah, blah, blah. And my buddy's bike was up on the hill. So we all get out together, all the Harleys. And we're waiting for my buddy to come down. So he comes down on his Honda and like one of my friends looks at him and goes, oh, that's why you had to park up there.
Oh yeah. Park up on the hill. Honda.
Yeah, yeah. 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 No wonder why you had to park up on the hill with the Honda.
I still have my Honda.
Yeah. I wish I still had I wish I still had my Honda CB. I might have to get another one.
Yeah. You've had all winter to find one. What do you remember Uncle Bob's Honda? Whatever happened to Uncle Bob's Honda?
Uncle Bob's Honda. I'm sure he still has it because that thing ain't going anywhere.
Yes.
He's not advertising it. That thing is locked up. I mean, I could call Uncle Bob tomorrow and say, I'm going to come pick that thing up and I can go get it for no money and try to fix it. Maybe I'll do that this winter. Maybe that'll be my project.
Okay.
I just had too much stuff going on this winter because I wanted to do other stuff.
Yeah.
I had like, you know.
Are you going to get another? So once, well, your bike's pretty much finished now.
Yeah, the road bike.
Okay, and I'm leading up to my next question. So is your bike finished or is it not?
No, it's not finished.
Okay.
No. So, I still want to do some motor work.
What do you want to do?
I just want to put a cam, just cams in it. That's all I want to do. Okay. I've been looking like the wood 77. Oh no, the wood 555 cam.
Okay.
So I guess supposedly my bike has about 79 horsepower right now. 80 horsepower.
Yeah.
So the numbers show when you put a wood cam in it, it can get you up to 100 horsepower. And about 100 torque, 100 horsepower. Okay. And I think that'll be plenty.
Yeah.
And I like the lope sound, with the cam, the way it sounds.
It sounds real good. And yeah. It'll perform good. It'll ride good. And you can jump out on the highway and cruise at 80.
Yeah, it's never going to be a fast motorcycle, but it'll make it a little bit more fun for me to ride, I think.
Yeah, it's going to do everything you want it to do.
Yeah, I mean, my FXR has a cam in it, and I love the way that thing sounds when I first started up.
I know. That's a killer bike.
Yeah.
One day I may talk you out of that one.
All right. So.
I'll trade you something.
All right. We might have to work something. We can maybe work something out.
Okay.
So. Man, I'm still kind of bummed that the Road Glide is not going to make it to the Daytona.
Man, like I said, as sitting here today, we're 3 weeks. So if parts show up at least midweek or before the weekend, I think I can get them down and they can start. Again, it's just assembled now. I mean, it's probably a good 3 days worth of work, I'll say.
Oh, really? Okay. So you still got to get the brakes working and everything, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
But all of that stuff's in.
Okay.
Basically, we're waiting on the risers because that's the holdup. You don't want to put the inner and outer fairing and all that on without putting the new
risers.
Risers with the new triple tree top. That's in.
Yep.
So, you know, that can't be done. Once that's done and that's on, it'll go pretty quick.
So it's pretty much just the risers that are holding you back right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. 'Cause everything else is there.
Yeah. That stinks.
Yeah. I mean, I could go with the floorboards that's on there. Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of things that need to be dolled up. I mean, I could even run with the pop that's on there now.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, you could put it all back together and get it running good and have it. But it's just the risers. Like I said, yeah, you don't want to put it all back together without the risers. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got a pair of big old ape hangers on it now that.
Yeah. Can't have that.
No. They're going in the trash can just as soon as everything else comes.
Oh.
In. Unless somebody wants them. Hey, come by. I'll give them to you.
Hey, did I mention that I have a CVO in my garage?
No, you have a CVO?
Yes.
I can't believe you're talking to me.
it's my buddy that's going to Daytona with me, so I got his CVO here.
And is that the one you rode when the Cop God was acting out?
Yep, so it's here. So that just seeing that in my garage knows, and that makes me know that Daytona is coming
up pretty soon.
Yeah.
What year is that bike?
That's an 09.
09, okay. Does it have the tour box on it?
Nope.
Okay. Just
regular bags and yep. He did a few little things to it, but nothing much. It's pretty stock.
Okay. That's still a cool bike. Yeah. But that's all. So the trailer's all squared away. You got it. You said you did a while back. You kind of measured out and done a kind of a dry run.
Yep. Did a dry run. So, yep. We're ready. I'm ready to roll.
I mean, or do you, in the back of your mind, you may throw the shovel in the back of the truck or the FXR for one of the shows, or
I was talking to my buddy about that yesterday. I'm like, I don't feel right going to, you know, Willie's Tropical Tattoo Show on the bagger. I mean, I wish I had at least the FXR to show up on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I probably not. I'll probably just bring the Road Glide. That's it this year.
Okay. Well, what have you decided on Milwaukee?
Yeah, I mean, even with the long ride, I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
Okay. Well, again, that's a few months away. Really, I mean, we could say a few months, but boom, next thing you know, it's going to be Laconia, and then within. So we go to Laconia. I'll be up there with you in Laconia in June, and then literally 4 weeks. Not really 4 weeks. Not quite 4 weeks. We'll be in the middle of the country there in Wisconsin.
Yeah. That's another ride. I was thinking when you're here for Laconia, we can take a ride to my buddy's Chop Shop Moto.
Okay.
He's the one that's going to put the cams in my bike. So maybe I'll get talking to him then and figure out a date. And maybe if I have, you know, some cams in the bike, I might take it to Milwaukee just to, you know, ride it. If not, I still might take the FXR. I think the FXR would be cool to have in Milwaukee.
Oh, yeah. Heck, yeah. Yeah, we're, you know, it's riding around. Well, man, we're going to have a good time there.
Well, like you
said, there's going to be some shows there.
Yeah, we got that one ride, you know, a couple hundred-mile ride. I've done that on the FXR before. That's no big deal.
Okay, yeah, as long as the weather holds out, which, you know, it's July, so it should be good. It'll be nice and hot, and it won't be snowing like it is up there with you.
Oh, jeez. All right, so let's do an official. What's in your saddlebag?
What's in my saddlebag?
Yeah.
Well, my new first aid kit.
Yep.
And then my little bag that if I need to go into the bathroom and clean something or clean my hands. You know what else I got? I go to the dollar store and get these throwaway, they're kind of like gardening gloves, but they're rubber. In case you have to lay on the ground and do something that's going to get your hands filthy. And you just put them on. Do what you got to do. And I've used them quite a few times because I've had to go back and buy some more. And you just toss them in the trash can.
Yeah, that's good because the latex gloves, I got boxes of those for detailing. So,
yep. Oh, yeah. It's just good to have stuff, little stuff like that. But you know what else? And you experienced this. What else are you going to carry in your saddlebag, Brian? You experienced this past week.
Uh-oh. You put me on the spot. This past week?
Yeah. It has to do with your key fob.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm definitely going to put a little 2032 battery.
Definitely.
Yeah, because that was the weirdest thing. Like, I kept on, you know, I'd just sit on the bike and the alarm would start going off. And I'd turn it on, turn it off. And I'm like, what is going on? Why is the alarm just going off like crazy? And, you know, every time I touched it, it would go off. And I'm like, I got the key fob, right? And then, so, you know, I didn't think of it right away. So I had to Google it, and then I figured out that. So today, I moved it around a bunch, and the alarm didn't go off, and it was great.
Yep. Yeah, the battery's in, though. So I have a story. So I bought a brand-new motorcycle, and I take off, and we're going to, I think, Myrtle Beach. And we stop at the Waffle House. That's where we all met up. And I go to get on my bike, and I'm like, this thing, what's the deal? And it's popping up, and it was a 2017 Ultra, and it was saying fob. I'm like, I got it right here. And everybody, their bikes are fired up. So, you know, I'm hollering. I'm like, hey, hold on.
Yep, I can't go.
I walk away, and I walk back, and I turn it on, and it pops up fob. And I was thinking, okay, well, I think I changed the code to 1111, the security code.
Yeah,
I put that in. Nope. I'm like, maybe it was 000 or 1234. Yeah. None of them. And I'm like, I don't know what I've changed it to do, even if I didn't change it.
Yeah, you never know.
So a buddy of mine, Robbie, he's like, I guess I'll have to go get you a battery. So I tossed him my fob, and he took off and went down to the grocery store or wherever and come back, and we had a battery, and we were off and going. But since then, I'll buy the battery, whatever the number is. What you said, what was yours? 20?
Yeah, 2032.
Okay, yeah, I think that's probably all of them.
Yeah.
And I'll buy two, or you can get a pack of three or whatever, and I'll keep them in the saddlebag.
Yeah, they're good to have. That's definitely a good thing to have.
Yeah, and actually, when you sent me that text, I'm like, you know what? So I walked out there, and I had some batteries, and I went ahead. You know, one key is with the bike down at the shop, and the other fob is there with me, so I changed it out. I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah, so I know we got good fobs. And another thing, how about, have you ever carried an extra key around?
No, I think this Road Glide is the first bike I've ever had that actually, I have two keys, two fobs and two keys. So, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to carry them with me.
Okay, have you changed the PIN number in the bike? The
security? Is that even with an 07, can I do that?
I'm pretty sure because you have the walk-away fob.
Yeah, well, I've just figured out how to put it into transport mode.
Yeah. So, yes, you do have a security code.
Oh.
So, there's a video you can go in there and watch, and it will show you how to pull it up, and it'll tell you what it is.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure you'll have that's your homework tonight. Okay. And then you can change it to whatever. Don't say it because, hey, somebody might jump on your bike and take off with it.
I'm going to change it to 1111.
Yeah, so you can remember it. There's like a factory setting. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4 or something. I don't know what it is, but yeah, when the new bikes come out, I was working at a dealership when the infotainment center and all that came out, and all of the stuff on that, I was like, man, it came with a separate book, and instead of, so it had an owner's manual, and then the infotainment center come with its own owner's manual.
Jeez.
Oh yeah, you know, 200 something pages. I'm like, my goodness.
Yeah, that's the intimidating thing about the new bikes. There's so much technology.
Yeah,
yeah, it just makes it easier for the old bikes to work on. But
yeah, it definitely. Yeah, so you know, I don't even have a radio on my new bike.
Yeah,
gone. Yes, but so, yeah, that's what's in my saddlebag. That's what's in your saddlebag. But hey, if you have listened to this podcast this long, we thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And
we thank Indy Ridge Boots. IndyRidgeUSA.com for partnering with us. We support them. They support us. We love their gloves. We love their boots. And on my personal note, CNC Thunder Custom Motorcycles in Cowpen, South Carolina. If you're in the upstate of South Carolina, or if you're in North Carolina, you need to come down here and have those guys at CNC Thunder right there on Main Street. Work on your bike. They'll sell you a bike. They run all kinds of service specials. They have all kinds of motorcycle parts. They have clothing, vests, hats, helmets. They are a Lexan dealer. They are a Thrashing dealer.
Nice.
They are a Dunlop dealer. Any tire you think you want, they can get any oil that you want. They have most of it in stock. But give those guys, give them a follow, CNC Custom Motorcycles on Instagram, on Facebook. And check those guys out. That is my shop. That's a shop I use. I've used them, and they're celebrating their 25th year in business. Not many people in the motorcycle industry can say, I've been an independent shop for 25 years, but these guys can. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, for 25 years, I've taken my motorcycle there.
Yeah. Well, if you're ever up in New Hampshire, my shop, Chop Shop Moto, that's the name on Instagram. Go give Zach a follow. He's been in business for over just 20 years, I think. So
wow, that says something.
Yeah, I've been going to him I've talked about in past episodes. Back when I had my Triumph, he used to have an open house, and we used to go there all the time. He's a good guy, and he's always fun to talk to. He always gives you full attention when you're there. So
that's awesome. And that you want a shop that you can walk in and you can trust him with your bike. You can ask a question knowing you're going to get a straight answer. They're not trying to sell you something.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what you need. You don't need this.
Yep, exactly. And that's what Zach will do. And he's also a Thrashing dealer. He drag specialties. He's got them all. So he can get you anything you need.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I can't wait. When I'm in Laconia, that's one spot we're going to hit.
Yep. Yeah, definitely going to go see him.
And hopefully we can get you down here one day and you can come hang out with the CNC guys.
Yeah, I'd like to meet them. I see them on Instagram all the time, so I'd like to go check them out.
Yeah, doing some cool videos. But we thank everybody for tuning in to the Upshift Podcast. We've had a good time on this one. We went over all kinds of stuff. I hope you kept up with us. And our audio was a little intermittent when we started, but I think it's gotten better. But hey, we're getting better at this. We're just having fun. It's all motorcycles all the time.
Yeah, and you know what? We might even have one more episode out, and we'll put it out right before Daytona. So if any of you Northeasterners like me, you'll have something to listen to on the way down.
Awesome. Yes, we will do another podcast, and then we're going to do one while we're in Daytona.
Yep.
Or two, maybe. And we're going to probably do some, you know, little reels and stuff just for guys and gals that did not get to go to Daytona. We'll try to show you the best we can on Instagram.
Yep. Sounds good.
How much fun Daytona is. But, man, I've had a good one on this one, Brian, and you have been listening to the Upshift Podcast.
See ya.
See ya.